This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
To the Hollow Sky Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And happy Monday, Hollow Cult. Thanks for choosing us to hang out with you, to get you through the work week. We're glad to be here. Happy that you chose us. And yeah, Kyle's going to bring some weirdness. I don't know what he's going to bring because that's how we do it. But I have a feeling it's going to be weird.
It's definitely weird.
Perfect.
Perfect for the agenda.
Yeah. So hang out for the weirdness. If you're new here, me and Kyle talk a little bit. If you don't want to listen to that, we do some show business. Just fast forward about the 6 minute mark and we'll get right into it. If you want to stay and hang out and listen, feel free. Also welcome. If you're not new here, hey, thanks for coming back, you weirdo. But first, getting through the housekeeping, check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. You'll find us there. Come be part of the community. Join the cult. It's a cool cult, not a bad cult, where we all just hang out and talk about weird stuff in the Discord. It's a good time. I highly, highly recommend it.
I do too.
9 out of 10 stars.
Yeah.
Can't give it a 10 out of 10 because that would be boastful, but...
You know. We are the underground kings of the paranormal.
Bastard sons of the paranormal.
Yeah.
So.
We're pretty great.
It is what it is. That being said, if you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share with the Hollow Cult, or possibly even come on and talk to us personally about your experience, Kyle's got some information for you.
I do. It's easy. It's in the show notes as always, but if you're anything like me, you're too lazy to even click on the show notes, hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. Going to serve every need that you have. Write your story out in as much detail as possible, shoot it over there, or give us a slight synopsis of your encounter and tell us, hey, nerds, I'm not trying to have you guys read this shit. I'm trying to come on and tell you firsthand what I went through. And we're going to say, okay. So what's going to happen? You're going to go, okay. Then you're going to come on the show. You're going to be famous.
That's how it works.
Steve is now a deaf interpreter.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
It's fine. You come on. Immediate internet infamy.
I think I just figured out your new side hustle. Deaf interpreter.
Interpreter. Sign languagist.
That's a better word.
I am multilingual.
Hey, you can speak with your hands. You can speak with your hands.
If you'd like to support the show, which nobody probably does now.
I was saying, not advisable.
Yeah. We do have a Patreon you can check out. $7 a month. We got extra Patreon exclusive episodes over there where we talk about different stuff. Taylor Swift being a demigod. We roll dice and pick out weird stuff to talk about. It's cool. It's cool. Go check that out. You get all our regular shows ad free and get them early. You get merch updates, sometimes merch coupons. You get casket breath jams, all kinds of goodies over there. Also go to holosskypodcast.com where we got our merch store. You can get some cool swag, some Holocult swag over there. Shirts, hats, beanies, stickers, you know, all the cool stuff that all the cool people like. It's a cool place to be. If you want to be a coolster, just do that. Also share the show word of mouth wherever people are talking about weird stuff. Share the show. If you got a favorite show you want us to collab with, now that we're kind of getting that rolling, holler at us. Send them our name and say, hey, go talk to these two losers. And we'll try to make that happen. Because that's what we do around here. Try to make stuff happen. Not successful, but we do try. You also go to wherever you listen to podcasts or social medias and leave us a 5-star rating, review, or as Facebook likes to call them, recommendations. And when I find them, I'm going to shout you out. This week's 5-star rating, review, or recommendation comes to us from Facebook and our friend Becca. Becca says, 5 stars recommends the Hollow Sky podcast. Hollow Sky for president. Metal emoji, metal emoji, metal emoji.
Hell yes.
Hell yeah. I don't would never want to be president.
Oh, I will.
Kyle will.
I 100% would.
I will be head of security.
I would turn this world upside down. I promise you that.
And I would just be doing this the whole time.
Yeah. Well, Steve, no, you'd be circle headbanging. It'd be awesome because there'd be a problem and you just see me and Steve circle headbanging at it.
Until it solves itself.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess cult leader is kind of like a president.
Kind of. Yeah.
It's probably not that different.
And I mean, technically, we could just stepbrother it and we could both interview be as president. A team. Yeah, we could both be president.
We president as a team.
Yeah. That'd definitely shake the world up.
Oh, yeah. That's a bold statement, Becca. But you know what? We're here for it.
Yeah.
We're here for it. I changed my stance. We're here for it now.
Yeah.
So thanks for the kind words. And another way you can help support the show is supporting our wonderful sponsors, which you are going to hear from probably right now. According to the National Institutes of Health, as many as 30 million men in the United States experience ED. It's more common than a bad night's sleep. The good news is HIMSS makes getting access to treatment simple, so you can feel like yourself again without the stress or awkwardness. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. HIMSS brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that puts your goals first. To get simple online access to personalized, affordable care for ED, hair loss, weight loss, and more, visit HIMSS.com/hollow1. That's HIMSS.com/hollow1 for your free online visit. HIMSS.com/hollow1. Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescriptions required. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information. Hey, Holocult. Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges. From sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. They'll deliver them discreetly to your front doorstep. And you can get them 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code HOLO. Having trouble sleeping? They've got a gummy for that. Sleepy Time gummies knock you out in about 15 minutes. They leave you feeling refreshed, and they don't leave you with a feeling of grogginess or hangover. Having just one of those days where just everybody sucks and everything is going wrong, you just need to reset your mood and your day as a whole, they've got gummy for that too. Epic Euphoria gummies. Just reset your mood and turn your frown upside down. What makes these different is how they've paired THC with other cannabinoids, with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere for that matter. And they have gummies for literally everything. Immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, HoloCult listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head to mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code HOLO at checkout to save 20% on your first order. And just like that, we are back. Welcome back, HoloCult. This is the point where you want to be if you didn't want to listen to us talk for the last 6 minutes. Because it's the point where Kyle's about to make it weird.
I am going to make it weird. And I'm also, before we start, I'm going to throw out a disclaimer.
This is going to get weird.
It's got some not kid-friendly parts. So Ooh. Keep that in mind.
Younger members of the HoloCult or members of the HoloCult that have little stirs.
Yeah.
You might want to go to a different episode.
Yeah, if you're a little sensitive, not the best. Ironically enough, I go from a funny episode to a hyper-serious episode. Mm. So light to heavy. Yeah, unfortunate, but here we are.
Disclaimer has been put out.
Yeah, so this story actually had a book and a movie made about it.
So it's kind of relatively well-known?
Apparently the movie was fucking terrifying. It was called The Entity.
I don't like that.
No.
I'm going to Google while you're talking about it.
Yeah, it's the real life experiences of Doris Bither. I'm going to call her Bither. Takes place in Culver City, California in 1974. A paranormal investigation went underway in an attempt to figure out exactly what was going on. So Doris Bither, she was a mother of four and living in a pretty freaking small house in Culver City, California. She would begin to suffer from a series of attacks.
Oh, God.
By which she claimed were a gang of ghosts. Doris had a bit of a rough past, which is kind of alarming on many different levels. She had a string of abusive relationships that would leave an impact on her and drive her to find solace in alcohol. And one of the other episodes that we've done, I can't remember exactly what we called it, but the woman was being attacked by a demon, and she had pretty rough relationships and multiple, you know, relationships with no one actually staying to, you know, be with her.
I was going to say it did sound familiar, like something we had talked about in a past episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which kind of lends you to the question is, does this past trauma make you more susceptible to whatever these beings are?
There are a lot of people out there that would agree with that, but you know, unfortunately, she finds solace in alcohol, and from what I understand, most likely drugs as well, which is never, if you're in that type of distress, it's never the right answer. You know, try to find some type of help. But as you can imagine, this would put a strain on her relationship with her children. Like I said, she was a mother of four. She had a girl who was six and three boys aging at 10, 13, and 16. Her rough relationship record and trying to raise four kids by herself wasn't her only problems. Doris was experiencing paranormal activity at their small home. Oddly enough, when she moved into the home on 11547 Braddock Drive, she would receive a warning. An elderly Mexican woman ends up coming up to the house, knocking on the door. Doris opens it, and the little Mexican lady says, "You need to get out. I used to live here in this old house back when it was a farm and I was a little girl. There is something very evil here. This place is haunted and you need to get out." So that's unfortunate right off the rip.
I'm gonna ask, but you kind of answered it. It was like, if the paranormal things that were going on was geographically specific, or if it had been going on before they moved into this house, but kind of nailed it there.
Well, it'll also see that gets muddy too, because there are things that happen in the story that clearly suggest it's definitely not the house. It's her. It's really fucking weird, the things that happen.
Which makes you wonder if whatever the evil thing at the house originally could have latched onto her, being that she was like emotionally susceptible, you know, from the trauma.
That is a possibility. Definitely a possibility.
What was the other? Was it Stardust Ranch where the guy came up and warned him, or was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the machete guy.
He was the monster killer.
That is the worst start to moving into a new home.
Oh, 100%.
Having someone that has previously lived there or a neighbor come up and be like, "This ain't going to be good."
Yeah, this is a bad place.
You need to rethink this.
Yeah.
That would be awful.
Yeah, it's interesting the way this story goes. So, Brian Harris, he would later come forward and tells about how his mother had messed around with a Ouija board and held seances in her early years, only to later get back into it after all of her hardships. So she had all this emotional baggage, plus mixing in the drugs and alcohol. And then on top of all of that, turning to the occult / Ouija board in what they believe is a possibility to try to receive some insight, some guidance in her life, which, as we've talked about many times before, using those types of items and having an intent buried in you with that type of negativity is probably not going to give the greatest results.
No, I feel like when you're susceptible to those kind of things, it's almost like an unknowing invitation to the not good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's definitely what shows up. You know, needless to say, very dark things begin to manifest around the home and in the worst ways possible. So, like I said, she's having these experiences, and one day she happens to go into a bookstore and she hears the story is kind of conflicted here. It's one of two ways. She either hears two men speaking about the paranormal, or it's a presentation in the bookstore by these two people about the paranormal. Regardless, though, these two men are talking about the paranormal. And she's like, "Hey, I've got paranormal shit going on at home." And they're like, "Oh, really?" And she's like, "Yep, my house is haunted." And the two men, before we get any further, the two men that she was listening to were a Dr. Barry Taff and his associate, Carrie Gaynor. Yeah. And so she tells Carrie a little about what's going on. And he's like, "All right, well, I'll speak with my associate and we'll get back to you and kind of see how we want to proceed with this, if we want to proceed with this. Because they weren't exactly sold on her story in the beginning until she brings up a detail about how she was being, I'll use the word, violated by the spirits.
Yeah, that when and I Googled
that, that piques their interest.
Yeah, when I went to the Wikipedia of the entity, that was the first thing that showed up, and I was like, oh.
Yep.
That's bad.
And it's like, it's wild. It's wild because you can make a lot of assumptions already. You know, the fact that she is a substance abuser, really dark past. You could think that maybe her mental psyche's breaking, all types of shit. There's all types of plausible things you could pile onto this woman's shoulders. However, there are some details that are going to be revealed that may not be the case. So, Dr. Barry Taff was actually a parapsychologist working out of the University of California. He did a preliminary interview with Doris about the situation. While doing this, he found out she had a history of physical and substance abuse alongside a very traumatic childhood. So, poor Doris, her life just wasn't, she didn't have the best deck of cards, you know. It was rough for her. And now, Barry reports they were living illegally in a condemned home that was in severe despair. With all that being said, Dr. Barry Taff and his buddy, Carrie, believed they pretty well had this figured out and that it was going to be an open and shut case. So once again, I'm assuming that these men are going in this situation thinking this woman's got a bunch of baggage. There's no paranormal shit going on here. It's all inside her head. She's crazy. So both men arrive at the house. They were greeted by Miss Doris. As they entered the home, they instantly noticed how horrible the living conditions were. They said it smelled like rotting garbage. Dishes were piled high. Like, it was just filth in every way. They also noted how they picked up on the relationship between Doris and the boys. That relationship was very full of turmoil. Taff noted that the house itself had been condemned twice by the city. While on this first visit, though, he noted that they had a feeling of overpressure in their ears when they were inside the home. And Taff noted that Doris suffered abuse from her parents alongside her relationships. While there was obvious tension between the boys and her, the psychodynamics of the home were extremely negative. Barry said the boys, notably the oldest, had super dark and resentful feelings towards his mother. All this may have been a calling for all of the negative activities going on in the home. So this does one of two things. It either attracts the poltergeist in this case, or he claims the mind creates it, which is kind of bizarre. You know, Doris had approached the men at the bookstore about the home. Then when they get there, they said she became very uncooperative with them. She's like, listen, fuck this. Get. So they leave. Only to shortly later on, he calls them again and is like, listen, things have gotten way out of control. I need help now. Doris starts explaining how the attacks in the home, she said she would be physically attacked by the spirits and even violated by them. Taff and Gaynor were extremely skeptical of the claims, saying that, like, getting evidence of a ghost is extremely hard on its own. Let alone getting evidence that a ghost violated you. This is not going to be easy to prove. That was all said and done until they witnessed bruises on her inner thighs and all over her body. People outside of the family would even come forward corroborating the claims. Doris claimed that these ghostly figures were actually Asian men. This is according to Barry Taff. Or at least appeared as such. But I also found accounts where they are described as humanoid and foggy. And this kind of, a lot of this, especially when I'm highlighting Barry, we're going to kind of revisit that in the end. So don't get too vested in this synopsis of the story, because there's a piece of evidence that comes out in the end that kind of clears a lot of this shit up. But they said while their shapes could be seen, they couldn't usually make out facial features. One of these spirits in the home was so frequently seen that the children actually gave it a name. They called it Mr. Who's It.
That's creepy.
Yeah. And as I'm digging around, most claimed that there were four entities in the home. One was that of an old man, which is the one that they called Mr. Who's It. And apparently, this thing, according to some people, was actually the deceased grandfather of the children. He had recently died. This entity matched his description. Now, while she claims, or while the claims of violation were one of the more standout things about the case, Doris said that the way it would go down is that two of the smaller entities would hold her down while the larger of the bunch would do the violating. The eldest son would admit to seeing his mother being tossed around the room. And on one occasion, as he's witnessing this, his mom being beat up and thrown around, he tries to intervene. And as he does this, it throws him around the room.
So it interacts with not everyone, just her.
Everyone. Everyone in the home ends up being attacked by these spirits.
Interesting.
Now, these three evil entities in the home would often attack everyone. The children will report how they were often pushed and thrown around. Once again, the children and people outside the family actually witnessed Doris being punched and slapped, thrown against the wall, and held there. Doris also would often show injuries of violation victims. So
it's terrible.
It is. It's heartbreaking. Now, the investigation itself would end up going on for almost 3 months. And Barry and Carrie here, or whatever his fucking name was, they hired and brought in photographers, other paranormal investigators, a whole line of people to help with this case. And I found an account of when, now this kind of goes, circles back to when they first, supposedly, when they first got there, or one of the first encounters, when they went to the home initially. It said that when the men got there, and it might have been the overpressured feeling I mentioned earlier, but they noticed how the house had this oppressive feeling to it. And when the men first got there, as they're walking through the home, they said the lights began to flicker. And as the lights were flickering, they had a Polaroid camera, perfectly working the whole nine. They start trying to take pictures around the house, this Polaroid. And none of the photos that come out of that camera develop. They just stay black.
That's right.
It's weird. So on a hunch, the men are like, hey, Doris, would you mind stepping outside for us? And she was very kind of taken back by that. She didn't understand what they were doing. And so she goes outside. And as she goes outside, they instantly notice that that overpressure, that oppressive feeling is gone. They start taking pictures with the camera again. Camera works.
Oh.
So they're like, okay, well, maybe these things are tied to her.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It almost, up to this point, it almost feels like the perfect storm for some sort of parasitic entity.
I agree.
You know, because she's had a rough go of it. Also dabbled in the paranormal and the occult a little bit before.
Yep.
Moving into a house that already has a reputation for having negative entities. She moves in there. Things start going awry. She turns to the occult even more to try to find answers, you know, try to like better her situation, whatever it may be, kind of opening that doorway. Also, the conditions of the house, I feel like, just add to the emotional and like spiritual degradation that she's going through, because like the whole house is in array. Her relationship with her children's in disarray. And it's almost like everything is conglomerating to make her like the perfect target.
Oh, I absolutely agree. It's heartbreaking to hear and visualize everything that happened to this woman, you know? Cause like you said, everything's mounted against her. You almost know firsthand, Steve, not to such degree, but how hard it is for a single parent. That in itself, fucking hard.
Yeah.
Right. And you have a single woman trying to raise four kids by herself in this little rinky dinky ass home. I saw a picture of her. It looks like it's probably a 800 square foot home. Super small home. And then she has her childhood, the relationships, the substance abuse, dealing with the occult, trying, which you're going into that with all that trauma, and then you're desperate for answers.
Oh yeah,
it's just ripe for manipulation.
It's a beacon of light out there. Yeah. Just anybody who wants in, come on in.
Yeah, everything's stacked against this poor woman. It's terrible. And here is something else to add on top of that. And it's ironic that we kind of come to this talking conclusion here, because one of the more famous accounts of this encounter and this investigation. So all the investigators on the property, and apparently there was fuckloads of them, upwards of 30 people there in this house, and they all go into this super tiny bedroom, all of them. And Barry and his sidekick are like, hey, you know, we got an idea. How about you provoke the entities into manifesting? Which I'm extremely torn about, because on one hand, you're trying to validate her claim. But on the other hand, I feel like you're completely pushing aside her mental health and well-being alongside the mental health and well-being of the children. So yeah, you can get a one-up in the paranormal field. I feel like that's a shitty play.
Yeah, and the more, like, I don't know a lot about him, paranormal investigation, but the further we kind of get into it, the more people are starting to kind of lean away from the whole provoking aspect.
Really?
Yeah. I've been seeing that a lot now.
I mean, I think it's a smart play.
Yeah. Coming in hostile, coming in hot. I just feel like it probably gives off the wrong vibes, you know, sure. Even if what you're dealing with isn't benevolent, coming in hot like that probably ain't the best route.
I mean, I fuck with that. I think everything deserves a certain amount of respect. It's the same idea of, you know, me coming into your home and being like, listen here, bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's going to accept that.
Yeah, essentially, like, paranormal investigation and trying to communicate with somebody is like a cold call. Like, you're cold calling someone, and immediately when they pick up, you're like, let's fight.
You know? Right. Exactly, like, exactly.
Who are you?
Yeah. You're not going to take too well to it. So anyways, like I said, about 30 people are crammed in this fucking room. They convince her to start taunting. And she does. She starts yelling at the spirits, swearing at them, you know, just trying everything she can to get them riled up. And as she's doing this, a greenish mist starts to manifest in the corner of the room. And it starts to kind of coil. And within seconds, it forms a man's upper torso. They all clear as day see this. They said it was very large with a lot of muscles. They said from what they saw, it was definitely a male figure, even though they're unable to see the face. And because of this situation, one of the investigators actually faints. Like, they're just scared shit. They just go, whoop.
I love it. They go in there and they're like, hey, let's try pissing it off.
Yeah.
And then they piss it off and the dude's like, I'm out.
And unfortunately, with all of the cameras in the room, they do catch some weird anomalies, but none of them are significant. There's a weird picture. I mean, if you look her up, it's one of the and actually I think I'm going to make it the show art for the episode. But there's like a picture of this weird arcing light over top of her. And they say it's weird because, like, it's not anything being produced in the room, because if it was, it would bend with the corner of the room. It would, you know, how light would hit the corner. But it's not. It's just a solid arc. But they said they also caught like weird orb anomalies and shit like that. But there's nothing as significant as seeing a torso manifestation and green mist. Taff also, go ahead.
It kind of goes hand in hand with like other paranormal accounts of entities and the phenomena affecting equipment, you know?
Yeah.
Like when the camera essentially overexposed or underexposed when she was in the house and then it worked fine. It makes sense. Unfortunately, that kind of moves into this aspect or this point in the story as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Taff also reported that the spirits must not have enjoyed metal very much. So note to self, Steve, if we ever want to piss spirit off, we play some good tunes and get the party started. But the son actually told Dr. Taff that the spirits would intensify when he played certain music like Black Sabbath or Uriah Heep. The songs that would set it off were about devil worship. While playing the music, Dr. Taff noticed that the lights and orbs did in fact increase. Keep in mind, that statement that I just read to you is coming from Dr. Taff and his reports. What I have later on contradicts it a little bit.
Sorry to interject again, but I just looked up that photo of the light anomaly, the arc overhead. That is weird.
Weird, right?
It's strange.
Strange. Yep. And that'd be the little bedroom that they were all crammed in.
Yeah, that's it is definitely a weird light anomaly.
Yeah.
Especially in a time where photographic evidence wasn't digital, essentially. Yeah. More physical media, so to speak, that it's strange.
It is weird. Like I said, the investigation goes on for about two to three months. And that's kind of like a little bit of the majority of the story, but I found a different angle. So we're going to transition, and I actually found an interview that Ghost Theory Magazine was able to actually score, and they actually scored it with her son. So one of the boys that were there, I think it's the middle son, his name's Brian, and they did this interview in 2009. So it's not that old.
No.
Now, Brian said that the overall feeling in the home was that of isolation. Even though it was an extremely small home, everyone always kind of kept to themselves and kept their distance. So it felt like you were isolated at all times. Brian said that Dr. Taff actually lied about the home being twice condemned. He said it was never condemned. He said the entire neighborhood would come by and tell them that this place was haunted. People would actually go as far as to look in through the windows constantly trying to see inside the haunted house. And he said he would also get teased a lot about it at school. That adds more to the negative lifestyle of the family.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. Even if they did somehow manage to get a lid on it inside the house, you still have literally everyone outside of the house feeding energy into whatever's inside of the house.
Right.
So you essentially have a whole community that's just feeding this thing.
Yep. Yeah. And it's just one poor family is just taking the hammer. I mean, just getting hammered by it.
That's what I was going to say. I'm like, how different may their lives have been if they just would have chosen a different rental property, chosen a different apartment, you know?
Yeah.
Like, cause they were rough off. Just the human predators had already taken a toll on this family. Now they've got the paranormal predators also just coming in and just
laying leeching. Waste. Yeah. Yeah. It is terrible. Now, apparently Doris had been renting the home, and unfortunately, finally, the city actually repossessed it. So it didn't get condemned. She just couldn't pay the bills. They took it. They ended up selling it to the next door neighbor, who actually ended up selling it after he had heard what was going on inside the home. So he heard Doris's story and goes, yeah, fuck that. I'm selling this. So they asked the big question. To Brian, the son, what's up with all the claims? And they said, there's a phone interview, and they said when they asked that question, he just gave this long, drawn-out sigh and was like, what do you want to know? It's all true. And Brian asked if the interviewer had seen the movie, and the interviewer was like, no, I actually haven't seen it. He's like, you know, the movie did a pretty decent job. It added a few things that weren't true. But Brian was then asked about the attacks. And this is what he had to say about the attacks. This is a quote from Ghost Theory Magazine and their interview. And he said, well, everything about what was reported was true. It did happen. Living in that home was hell. We all experienced some form of attack. There was the pushing, biting and scratching being done to us. There were about four entities in the home, and they made themselves known by appearing all the time. I think it took a lot of energy for them to do that. Brian said that he suffered the least from the spirits. He believes that the rest of the family got it worse because of their negative attitudes and overall fear of the situation. And what's odd is he was asked to describe the entities, and he never once claimed it was a grandparent. He said that the four of them would show up whenever they wanted, and it was also like a human figure, but translucent and foggy. Although I thought he said, I think that may have been wrong. I think he does say that one of them is a grandparent. So I think I may have gotten that wrong. But
that made me, when you said it earlier, it popped a question into my head that I didn't reiterate because I know you won't have the answer to it. But you would think that if the children were seeing a grandparent, they would refer to it as the grandparent.
Yeah, I
as
think
opposed he, to like Mr. Who's it? Like,
I think he does, because I think when he specifically asked about Mr. Who's it and it being a grandparent, I think he does end up saying that it was his grandparent, and they're like, "Well, how do you know that?" And he's like, "Because it told me."
Yeah, because like in my brain, a kid would be like, "Yeah, that's grandpa."
Yeah,
it wouldn't come up with some weird name for it.
Yeah. Now, but
the fact that it like told them is very manipulative.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 We'll get to that. Because I do specifically remember that part. But when he was asked about the description of the figures, like, what did you see when they would manifest? And he said, this is another quote, "It was like a sculpture. It had a chiseled body, not a full figure, but at times we could see some of it, the musculature." He's like, "It's funny, the whole incident about them being Asian. That's not true. I don't know where they," referring to Taff and Gaynor, so the two guys.
The investigators.
He's like, "I don't know where they got that idea from. They did not have Asian features at all. They did not look Asian." So with that claim being cleared up, it's safe to say that it's possible that Dr. Taff, for whatever reason, added very odd details to this case.
That is weird.
And I don't know why, other than maybe he's trying to muddy the water.
Which, what would be?
Because he did work at a, it was called a parapsychology at a college in California.
I wonder what would be the benefit of doing that, though.
The only thing I can think of is smearing. Because they went in and experienced things that were real. And not saying this is the case, but we've heard more than enough stories where essentially the CIA has home bases at colleges where they run experiments and shit like this. So what if he was somehow linked to that and they came in looking for evidence, found it, and they're like, "Yeah, we got to make this. We got to discredit this. We can't have people knowing this shit."
Yeah, I mean that's about the only thing that makes sense. Like,
because why the fuck would you just randomly go, "Yeah, they're Asian"?
Yeah, and he said that she said that they were, she described them as Asian.
I think that's what Dr. Taff said.
Yeah, which is fucking
weird. So he's directly putting words in Doris's mouth.
Yeah, some weird narrative there going on.
Yeah. Anyways, Brian Harris said, "At times it would be annoying. We would be watching television and these things would walk by like nothing. We were so used to the poltergeist that we just got to a point where we wouldn't even care." And this is, I think I just wrote, had a couple series of quotes here from him that stood out. Another one, "The whole violation thing was real. My room was right next door to my mother's. I would hear the attacks happening."
Oh, God, that's terrible.
Yeah. "Things being thrown, her screaming. Then she would come out of the bedroom and have all these bruises on her legs and her thighs, just like what happened in the movie. There were times where we would see it happen in front of us. It was like if a man was standing in front of my mother and would start to beat her. Imagine a woman being beaten. You could see her being picked up and thrown around. Sounds, slaps, but there was no one there to actually do it. We all felt it too. Pulling, biting, and scratching. We were all attacked. The interviewer said that Brian said, at times the foggy apparitions would become clear and detailed. He could see some facial features at times, asking Brian how he dealt with that as a child. And Brian said, and I quote, "Well, it was hell. There I was, barely out of elementary school, trying to carry on and ignore it all, and there was so much commotion going on. Between Barry's team of 30 or so people crammed into a small, and I mean small, room, cheering and yelling at this thing, I was in the next room trying to watch television, trying to mind my own business."
God, that's terrible.
Yeah. He also said the whole investigation lasted about 2 or 3 months, but it wasn't like Barry was there every single day. So for him to say that this could have been some sort of telekinetic thing that my mother was creating is bullshit. She didn't want to have this happen. It's a possibility, but it's not like he knew what was really going on, though. He was not an Uncle Bob that knew the family. He was only there for 3 months, and from that, he would show up every Thursday or so. When the team would show up, I hated it because I knew as soon as they left, they would become so angry that the house would literally become alive. It was as if the ghosts were upset that we went and told, like they were throwing a temper tantrum, a hissy fit. So things would start flying. We would get attacked. So every time that team would come over, it just provoked the spirits and just make it wretched for them. Now, the interview asked Brian if the drinking could have made it worse and also asked about the theory that she was telekinetic or psychokinetic. And he says, and I quote, "Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the reason. You have to understand, my mother was drinking heavily because of what was going on. She wanted to escape, so she drank." Barry reported that she was always drunk. That's not true. In fact, I wish I could talk to him in person. I have a few things I want to clear out. So he's definitely not happy.
Defend his mama's name is what he's going to do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's definitely not happy with what Barry has put out there for the public to consume.
It was almost sensationalizing it by demonizing his mother.
Yeah, yeah. He put all of the blame onto her.
And it's like it just kept trauma compacting on itself because they would come over and provoke it and then it would get worse. So yep. Then it would get worse, I'm sure they took it out on her tenfold, which made the investigators want to come back and try to get more evidence, which would make it worse. And then it would compact and then it would just keep piling up.
And then think about it too. When you go down that road, think about her having to see it happen to her kids.
Yeah. And then she would try to drink to put it away, you know, and it was,
she doesn't know what else to do. How the fuck do you fight that?
So bad.
Yep. Brian also said the home was unstable. We did fight a lot. My older brother was mean to us, so there was a lot of tension. My mother's boyfriend at the time left because he could not handle it, the poltergeist and the tension, which was a good thing. He was a bastard. The telekinesis theory is possible. There was so much tension and negative energy. You have to remember that it could have been also amplified by Barry's team. There were at times 20 or 30 people in a room, yelling at this thing, trying to make it come out. Camera equipment, lights, the whole nine. The collective energy could have made it worse.
Oh, yeah. Especially coming in there trying to provoke it.
Yeah.
That's nothing but negative, you know, volatile energy you're putting into this thing.
100%. 100%. And not to mention, it's not, obviously, it's not a good thing that's lurking around.
You may have heard of HelloFresh. They're the number one meal kit in America, making home cooking easier with chef-crafted recipes and fresh ingredients delivered straight to your door. But this fall, they're serving up even more to love. This isn't the HelloFresh you remember. It's bigger. HelloFresh has doubled its menu. Now you can choose from 100 options each week, including new seasonal dishes and recipes from around the world. Dig into bigger portions that'll keep everyone satisfied. I use HelloFresh, and I feel like the rest of the Hollow Cult should too. This week, I had the saucy smothered enchilada bake, and it was wonderful. The tortillas were packed with spiced ground pork and sautéed bell peppers, all covered in a zesty tomato sauce and melted Mexican cheese. Came out of the oven perfect, bubbly, delicious, and the lime cream and pico de gallo on top pulled everything together. It was awesome. The best way to cook just got better. Go to HelloFresh.com/HOLO1POD10FM now to get 10 free meals plus a free breakfast for life. One per box with active subscription. Free meals applied as discount on first box. New subscribers only. Varies by plan. That's HelloFresh.com/HOLO1POD10FM to get 10 free meals and free breakfast for life.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Brian got asked about Mr. Who's It and how he knew it was his grandfather. He said he knew this because it actually told him that's who it was.
That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I feel like Brian is actually pretty cool because he actually ends up getting asked about the metal music. And this is it. This is his quote on this. He goes, "That's all bullshit. We never listened to satanic music. It was Black Sabbath and Uriah Heep. Any kid that grew up in the 70s and listened to rock, that is what they listened to. It was the cool thing to do. Although we did notice that when we would play certain songs, the spirits would become agitated. There is this song in the Uriah Heep album called Demons and Wizards that talks about good versus evil. It's basically about the devil getting his ass kicked. Every time we would play that, the spirits would become agitated."
I love it.
Yeah, so I'm like, that's what's up. That's what's up. So from there, Doris claimed that as the family moved from home to home, the hauntings did follow them. Although Brian said as they did move, it did follow it, but it wasn't ever as bad as it was in that place. Unfortunately, Doris passed away at the age of 58 due to multiple organ failure in 1999.
Damn.
It was never actually determined what caused the failure, which I see that going, of course, two ways. You'll have a camp of paranormal means and a camp of people who will suggest it was due to substance abuse. And in my opinion, both are probable. Not to mention, you could also suggest that due to the oppression she was under, the substance abuse was a result of that causing her to pass away.
Yeah, probably a combination of everything that she had going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Dr. Taff and his dumbass sidekick seem to suggest that her subconscious mind was able to generate enough energy to produce these paranormal results. So even though these fucktards witness shit firsthand, they're going to come in with some bullshit like this.
It almost just feels like a smear campaign.
Yeah, and he literally says, it's far more likely this was able to happen than an actual evil intelligence.
Which I don't buy. Because
me either.
Because her, unfortunately, her story of trauma and having life just kind of pile on her entire life is not a one-off. You know,
it happens to tons of people,
hundreds of thousands of people that are going through similar things that do not get attacked by evil spirits.
Agreed.
Him saying that it was part like her psyche creating this. It feels like an agenda. It feels like a smear campaign. It feels like. I'm curious as to who purchased the house after the neighbor. It would be interesting to see if it somehow links back and ties into him, the entity he works for, the college, or university. They may have been picking up on things where they're like, no, don't worry about that. That house isn't haunted. You know, that there's nothing there. It was all her. It was all her emotional disability, It all stemmed from her. And then they go in, they're like, something's fucked up about this place.
Yep. I'm with you. I think it was a smear campaign, and there was some obvious agenda behind it. What that agenda is, I don't know. But I feel like they definitely had something they were trying to bury. But I also find it funny that whenever these typical professionals show up to these places, they always find a way of explaining things away.
Dude, because how in the fuck are you going to come into the single mother's home that has relatively young children, oldest being 16, still a child, regardless, and come in there for months, you know, every week, multiple times every week, cause absolute chaos. Just go in there screaming, provoking, trying to get a rise out of whatever this thing is, and then turn around and be like, their home life was so bad, it was probably just all in her head.
Yeah. And not to mention they all fucking saw it. They all firsthand saw it. Your homeboy, whichever one it was, fainted.
Yeah.
Because he saw it.
Get out of here.
Yeah. I agree.
Dorks.
I agree. And then to end it here, it's from Brian. There are people out there that have claimed that Doris and family are psychic. They have psychic abilities. Brian seems to think that is a possibility, that they all do have these subtle psychic abilities. And that also is what aided them into becoming targets, on top of the negative energy that family had gone through and was also putting out at the time, because they were all kind of at each other's throats, so to speak. So it could be that they were all sensitive to begin with, and then just life's unfortunate. Like you said, you said it great earlier, how it just all kind of compacts on top of each other, just compacts, creates this perfect lightning rod for the asinine to happen.
It really opens a lot of terrible scenarios, thinking about the phenomena in this light. You know, like on one hand, what are the chances, like how terrible would it be to move into a geographic location that's full of spirits that are sexual deviants, you know?
Oh, dude, suck.
And then on the other hand, if these things weren't spirits, say it was some sort of time slip manipulation they moved into, or say it was some sort of time travel manipulation that these entities have honed in on and are now able to use that as a conduit for their, you know, sexual deviantness. That's terrifying.
Oh yeah.
That they can just manifest themselves into this woman's room whenever they feel like it. That sucks.
Fuck yeah, it does. Yeah. And it sucks too, because like, as we all sit and because we all would sit and say the exact same thing, all of us leave, move somewhere else. But she already had it. And we all know that we all can't do that.
No.
And I feel like, and I'm not trying to like pour salt in the wound, but I feel like that woman had so many hardships that it was an impossibility for her.
Yeah, I feel like that's everybody's answer. Like, just leave. Well, if it were that easy, don't you think she probably would have done that? Like, the first go around of getting fucking attacked?
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to get the hell out of here. No, I'm just going to stay here and see what happens. It doesn't work like that.
No.
Like, it's just, I feel like that's outside of the box syndrome, you know? And outside like, looking in, you're like, you have all these easy solutions that you would do until you're in that scenario, in her shoes, and you realize, oh shit, she didn't have any options. Like, the thing that got her out of there was like not being able to live there anymore, you know? Like,
yeah, they just took it,
which is probably the best thing that could have happened.
Yeah. Yep. And it's just, I don't know, to suggest that, oh man, I don't know, I kind of lost my train of thought there. But it's a terrible, terrible situation for them and the family. Man, it's just not something that, like when I was looking into it, that's not the road I expected it to go down. Would it be that? Because she even claimed, which is kind of one of the outlandish ones, but she even claimed that she ended up getting pregnant from the spirit.
Oh, that's fucking wild.
Yeah. And Brian, her son, was kind of impartial to it. He said, he's like, maybe. But she also got around a little bit.
Had relations
with D-bags.
I was going to ask that if, after these assaults happened, if there was ever any kind of any like medical investigation, any kind of like attempt to get any DNA maybe or something post assault.
Yeah. There's always like simple things like that you would think would be done, would be top priority. But just never.
She's probably like, also in the mindset, like, nobody's going to fucking believe me. You know,
sure.
Same way with like alien abduction cases where people have been, you know, victims of this type of violation. They're going to be like, nobody's going to believe me. Yeah. If I go to the ER and say I was just assaulted by a ghost, they're going to put me in a psych ward. And then I got four kids that are going to have to go to foster care or some shit, you know, like I'm sure.
Yeah, because even if you went in, you know, even if you went in and was like, hey, I just got assaulted, can you please do assault kit on me? I would assume you're most likely going to have to file a police report.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Right.
Yeah. And then like, what do you do from that point?
You know? Yeah, because hey, then you get in trouble for lying.
Yeah,
essentially,
a ghost did this. Like,
yeah,
what a terrible! It's a terrible situation. Period. But to be put in and then not have anywhere to turn, and you're also seeing it attack your children, and then the people that you think would help you, the people that you go to, the paranormal investigators, you think could possibly get to the bottom and help you. Instead, paint you like you're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, paint you like this was all part of your psychosis. This didn't happen.
And I think that's what I lost my train of thought on earlier, was that, you know, and then these assholes come in and they're like, you know, this is twofold. A, we're going to blame it on the fact that you're psychokinetic or whatever, and you're creating these things. So, A, that's crazy. because now, okay, so you're dismissing the paranormal, but you're acknowledging the fact that people can be psychokinetic or whatever and just straight up manifest shit.
Almost like a...
That's crazy.
Like a tulpa.
That's equally as crazy as evil intelligence committing these atrocities. On top of all that, you're going to make those claims whenever neighbors and her children and you guys have witnessed this shit.
Yeah, because the bad stuff was
happening. Still going to make those claims.
The bad stuff was happening before the family moved in.
Yeah.
And they just, they're like, meh. Nah. She probably created it in her brain.
Yeah.
Probably happened in her brain. It's fine.
It's whatevs.
And it, the way her son described it is they did more harm than good. They would come in there, kick the fucking hornet's nest, and then leave for a week.
Let them deal with the fallout.
Yeah. Let a single mother with four kids try to sort out the demons.
Yeah.
And then once they get it cooled down, they're like, you know what? Let's go back in and give her a little shake. See what happens.
And then they do nothing but smear her name. You know, she's a drunk and this, that, and the other. And I don't know. It's
disappointing.
100%.
They have the ability.
And to be honest with you, she died kind of young.
Yeah.
You know, 58's not that old.
They had the ability to do something good. At the very least, help validate what she was experiencing. You know? Yeah. Like, you can't expect them to go in there and, like, get rid of the problem. But they could at least validate that what she was going through was real. Well, it was actually happening.
You know, to that point, I, like, and I know that, like, financially we are not in a position to do this, but like, how do you go into that situation, see what you've seen, hear her side of the story, and see the actual bruises on her inner thighs and all of this stuff? How do you just like
not
pack up and walk away from that?
I thought the same thing.
How do you not just want to be like, listen, I can't do a whole lot, but I'll get you a hotel room for a week.
Yeah.
Start you a have go, to get the fuck out of here.
And I know it's different times now, but start a GoFundMe. Start some sort of something to where, like, there's not a lot of variables we can change in this scenario.
Yeah.
But this place is a variable that we can change in this scenario if we get enough people behind us, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's just crazy that there are people out there that can just turn that shit off and walk the fuck away.
It sounds like the two dorks at the head of the investigation were in it to try to make a name for themselves, which I wonder
100% agree
how much they were behind the book and the movie deal, how much they got out of that as opposed to the family.
I'm sure they got shit. I'm sure they got it all and the family got diddly squat.
That would be an interesting thing to look at too, because it feels like they're just trying to get some sort of, you know, something under their resume, you know, like, this crazy paranormal case was happening in our town and we went in and we debunked it.
Yeah.
We figured out that it was all in her head. She was manifesting all of this. What a travesty.
It was. It is.
That sucked, Kyle.
I know. But it was the one I found.
Not the episode. But the way they handled it sucked.
Oh yeah, they're assholes.
They're fucking dorks.
They're one of those people that just deserve to be smacked in the mouth.
Yeah, like I said, you had the ability at the very least to help validate what she was going through.
Yeah. And
instead, you just did wrong.
Collected evidence and then left them there to rot.
Yeah. Stirred shit up and then just said, "See ya. Good luck." Damn.
All right, sorry about you.
Man.
It's a bummer.
It is a fucking bummer.
Yeah.
Well, Holocult, that's how we're starting your Monday off.
Sorry.
No. It should at the very least be a lesson. You know, if you're a paranormal investigator, if you have the ability to help someone that is in need of something that they cannot control and they're looking for answers for, just understand that you hold a lot of power in your hands with someone coming to you with their encounters. They are entrusting you with something that not a lot of people get. This is an example of why the paranormal is still taboo. This is an example of why people keep their encounters tucked away deep in their psyche because they don't want to talk about it. So, on that note, thanks for hanging out with us today. Check us out everywhere we're at. And, have a good rest of the week, everybody. Out there, stay safe, stay weird. And if you're a paranormal investigator, just do better than these two. For fuck's sake, just do better. Help people. Help people that come to you and need help.